You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, this is one of my favorite segments of every single week. We spend time at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday on Hump Day doing what we call the Grand Council, where I have two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing it longer than me. And we get on here and ping each other with questions that we don't know in advance. And we don't even always agree on the answers, but we love each other when it's done. So let me just take a moment here and call the roll from 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN up in Huntsville, and also writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, do you be here? Oh. All right, he is present, stand at ease. And then from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show down in Mobile, also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you, sir. All right. Well, listen, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, boom.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Ta-da! All right. Let's kick it off, fellas. Round one, Grand Council. Jeff Poor, you first.
Do you give any credence to the Alabama Republican Party, what they're trying to do this weekend with the AEA? What they want to do, essentially, is ban contributions for superintendent and local school board races. But here's one little problem with that. A lot of these races are nonpartisan, so you don't qualify with the Republican Party. What do you make of that?
So let me ask you this. You say give credence. What do you mean? Like you don't think it's worthwhile, or are you saying that you question the whole process?
Yeah, is there any reason for doing this? When I say give credence or try to make a statement to the AEA, Are they doing that through this gesture?
You know what? I look at it and think, first of all, I'm glad they're doing it. And I don't know that it can stick. My only concern is, not having reviewed it from a legal standpoint, is there a First Amendment right for the AEA to give these contributions that we can't stand in the way of? I don't know the answer to that question, but I throw that out there as my sole concern. Whether or not I believe we should try to curtail the influence of a teachers' union in education elections, I'm fine with that, because if you look back, you'll see right now that the power and influence of the AEA has apparently been on the rise, and they crowed this past session that they killed the things that the Republican supermajority should have been pursuing, like school choice and, you know, dealing with budget cuts and tax reform. But all that to say, in my area, it's a partisan issue. It's not a nonpartisan race. It's the local superintendent. If you're appointed, okay. But if you're not appointed, you run on a party ticket, and so are the school board members. Dale?
My only issue with it is, why not legislators? Why are we only talking about these school board guys? Why aren't we talking about state legislators? I mean, as you mentioned, where did the AEA do its damage this year? It was in the legislature. And granted, their school board members and superintendents are the ones that they sort of put it off on. Oh, I'm getting a lot of pressure from my school board. Oh, I'm getting a lot of pressure from my superintendent. Yeah, sure, fine. But the legislature, that's where the real problem is. I mean, if you're not going to do it there, what's the point?
I tend to agree with that. And I look at it and think, that's where the party needs to start doing things like saying, we won't qualify you if you're going to defy our platform issues, one of which is don't take money from the AEA. But I also look at it and think the legislature is so broad, I don't know that we can. Here's the thing. I go back to my same question. Does this pass constitutional muster? That's what's got to be looked at right away. Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
Well, I would just say this. The our municipal elections, if you're like in a city school system, it's nonpartisan. I think this is very symbolic in a lot of ways, guys. And it may lead to something else, and clearly the AA is going to fight it. This is what we're going to see, but I think it's important to remember, even if the Republican Party does this, it is a it continues to be a symbolic gesture.
Okay, symbolic, but let me ask you this. Draw them out into a fight. Make them state why they want the influence in the school boards. I mean, is there something to be said there for sort of drawing them out and into the battlefield as opposed to just sitting back and saying nothing?
Senator, if they're not partisan races,
no, I'm asking. I'm asking. Is there some value, though, in drawing them into a fight?
I don't think so. I don't know. I you know, they already have a rule in the books. I think Dale's right. If you want me to start taking this seriously, go for the lawmakers. They're the ones who really are the important actors here.
Okay. What's the let me ask you this one last question because I don't know the answer to it. What's the enforcement mechanism? What's the teeth? Have they got a teeth in this thing?
No. I mean but if if there were a perfect world, you would not qualify him as a Republican candidate.
And that's the only teeth I think they can apply. All right, next question. Dale, what do you got?
My question is, what is Terry Sewell doing? And she tweeted out yesterday that the indictment of Donald Trump was part of the political process playing out. Now, I'm not going to suggest that she's stupid, because that would be just absolutely uncalled for. But, man. What a stupid thing to do! What do you make of this comment? And is anyone on her staff not stupid enough to say maybe we shouldn't do that? Maybe we should take that down, or does it matter?
Are you mansplaining to Terry Sewell right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, as long as we've clarified that. Yeah, I saw that, and I thought, you know what? Poor choice of words, the political process. It's supposed to be a legal process, a judicial process. The very idea that you, oops, said it out loud, that it's a political process. Everybody in the world knows it's a political process. I mean, you can't tell me that they couldn't figure out whether Donald Trump had done something right or wrong about January 6th 3 years ago. It took to now, right in the middle of the campaign. I look at this, and I said earlier in the show, when you look at multiple indictments coming from different angles and other pending indictments and civil claims being made left and right in the middle of an election, it's not just that there's smoke, there's fire. It's that there's so much smoke that someone is actually in the background fanning the flames. And this is absolutely a political issue. Jeff?
Yeah, it is a political issue. I guess Terry Sewell, like you said, really, really chose some poor words, but... Is it, you know, everything is, look at the way they handled Hunter Biden and waited till the statute of limitations ran out. What's ever going to be done? Is it beyond repair to fix the criminal justice system at the federal level? Or is this just the way it's going to be for the rest of our lives?
No, it can't be. I mean, okay, is it going to be this way? Only if... they're allowed to steal another election. Oh, did I say that out loud? Am I going to be indicted now? But the reality is that was a highly irregular election. Was every claim made about it true? Probably not. But the reality is that was an extremely irregular election. And the only way in the world they're going to get away with using the judicial processes like this is if we're not able to see true change coming through an election that brings a fresh air in. And they're going to have to clean house. I mean, I used to be the guy that was like, you know, oh, come on now. It's you know, there's good people in government. There are good people in government. There's some bad apples out there, too, and we need to clean house. Your own question, Dale, you want to add to it?
I don't know why we're not hearing DeSantis, Ramaswamy, Mike Pence, Donald Trump himself on stage going, oh, okay, is this how it's going to be? Because I'd kind of like it to be this way if I win. Because here's what's going to happen. Sort of like the cocaine Mitch of the United States Senate, where Harry Reid said, oh, this is what we're going to do with judicial nominees. And Mitch McConnell's like, oh, okay, go ahead. And then came back and hammered him with it. I think they've got to do that same thing. Lock her up's not a chant anymore. It's a reality. You want to put our people in jail? We're going to start putting your people in jail. So God help you if we win. That's what I would do.
I'm not opposed to that. All right. Hey, let me ask you this. Quick question here with about 2 minutes before we go to the break. So Mitch McConnell had this really kind of freaky moment in front of the microphone where he just like blanked out, like almost like an epileptic moment where he was having one of those blank out kind of seizures and didn't seem to know where he was or what to do. Of course, we also see what's happening with Feinstein. And we also see what's happening with the president of the United States. Is it time for a real and candid conversation about age limits in public service, Jeff?
No, I think that that undermines the will of the voters. I don't like that. You know why? Elections have consequences, and if you're going to elect these old codgers, well, then that's the kind of representation that you deserve.
So live and let live. If you elect them, there they are, and there's no cognitive testing or anything else you think is necessary.
No, that means it's just not what it's not how our system is established. Who establishes a cognitive test? Who gets to make that call? I don't like that. I just leave it to the voters.
Dale.
The only thing I would say is the only way you're going to get something like that passed is if they at the minute they're getting ready to have the vote, they all start acting like Feinstein and someone who's 35 gets behind him and goes, just vote A. Just vote A. Otherwise, it's never going to pass. Why would they do that to themselves?
Yeah, it's like asking for term limits. I mean, you're asking them to curtail their own behavior or their own actions or their own capabilities. And I tend to agree. Now, on the one hand, I look at it and think, why are you there, Dianne Feinstein, at 90 freaking years old? Why are you? Do you not have grandkids? Do you not care about life outside? But I think it becomes their identity. That's the problem. Is so many of them, it becomes their identity. They wouldn't know what to do if they were not elected officials.
Oh boy, you know, I hear this from you, and I think let's talk in about 5 years when you're on the radio, think about hanging it up. All right, wait till you see radio people when they get pushed.
Well,
out.
It depends on
5 years. That's coming up here.
5 years.
I'm saying is they love it for the same reason you love doing radio. I'm telling you, it's a dopamine hit.
They get paid more than I do. Let's put it that way. I mean, but anyway, all right. Listen, we got to run to a break right now. Fellas, round one, Grand Council. Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile and 1819 News. Dale Jackson, WVNN up in Huntsville, Yellowhammer News. And just little old me, who apparently has an identity based in radio, according to Dale Jackson. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Back for round two of the Grand Council with Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore. And I do believe the order is Jeff Poore. Next question, what you got?
What do you think of Wanda LeGavin's proposal for an Ebony Alert? Is this a good idea, Senator?
Friggin' no. I mean, how do you do that? We're gonna have an alert only if a black child is missing. What? I mean, that's so you're going to use state resources to only alert the world if a child from one demographic is missing. And I look at that and I thought, well, that's classic Wanda LeGavin. It just is. I mean, one of the most spirited and yet racist individuals, it appears, in our legislature. So is it a good idea? No, it's not a good idea. Now, if you want to enhance the ability to do Amber Alerts on kids, I'm all for it. If you want to have some means of getting the word out a little quicker, a little better, a little more refined, go for it. But the idea that we're going to create an Ebony Alert, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of, and it's absolutely asinine, and it defies the idea that we have kids that are white or Hispanic or Asian who might also need to be cared for. So there's my unvarnished opinion. Dale.
Wanda LeGavin's the one who stood on the floor and called the other legislators the N-word using a song, right?
That is her.
Yeah, let me use a song.
She's a fashionista too, by the way.
There was a band called Garbage that did a song called Stupid Girl, and that might be a way to describe this woman. This is ridiculous nonsense. This is attention-seeking. We're giving it to her. I'm just as guilty as everyone else because this is a great and very dumb story that will never, ever happen, never see the light of day. It will get voted down in a heartbeat. It is just dumb.
But I'll tell you, too, what amazed me was in the middle of the Carly Russell stuff, with the young lady who had faked her own, kidnapping and all that kind of stuff. And you know, nobody ever brought in race to that story until Wanda LeGavin, Representative Wanda LeGavin, said she hopes that this whole thing with Carly Russell doesn't derail her ability to pass the Ebony Alert bill. Really? That's your takeaway? What the heck? Jeff, your own question. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, there was obviously, I think, whenever we, Gabby Petito, when she was missing or murdered or whatever, and Joy Reid said it was a missing white woman syndrome or something. But there is a group of people who think that white women get way more attention than ethnic minorities when they go missing, and this is the way to remedy that. And Wanda Gavan herself did not come up with this. She is just mimicking what I think in California, what they're trying to do to remedy that problem. I mean, she's kind of silly for bringing it up in Alabama, but she is just doing this. This idea, this notion was something that was created on the left coast.
Let me tell you something. As an attorney, if I went to court and I tried to cite case precedent from the Ninth Circuit in California, I would be laughed out of the courtroom by a judge. The very idea that a state legislator in Alabama wants to go, wow, what's California doing? I think I'll model after that. Okay. There's a problem.
You think this is something that people in her district want? I mean,
no.
It's so weird, right?
No. I think the vast majority of people of every color and creed in this state would look at that and go, no, we need one for all kids. Anyway.
This is for adults, though.
This is for adults. Okay.
There's a gray alert, or whatever they call it, a silver alert, and then there's the amber alert. Amber alert. This would be for black adults.
Okay, but I don't change my answer at all.
No, I know. I'm just filling in the blanks. I agree with you completely. This is idiotic.
It's idiotic, yeah. But it's like they need this to they're trying to write some kind of past injustice.
I look forward to her filibuster comments on this one. That's going to be awesome.
Just think about it this way: imagine a young Hispanic woman goes missing, at 26 years old. She saw a toddler. That toddler was moving even faster than this toddler on the side of the road, and she goes missing. And her parents go to the authorities and say, hey, we'd like to put out an alert for her. We're like, sorry. Is she part black? I mean, what, other than that, we can't do it. Is that what they're going to do?
Ask Wanda Lynn Gavan, because I'm pretty sure she doesn't have an answer either.
Is California actually doing this? Like, is this a law in California?
Is it a law in California, Jeff?
No. It was a proposal, but I don't think it
didn't even pass in California. But you're gonna take it up here. Yeah. Awesome. This is classic. All right, man. We got about a minute left. Got a short question, Dale. What you got?
Mike Pence coming out being the attack dog,
whoop, whoop.
Talking about Trump's lawyers and saying that they were a gaggle of crackpot lawyers, all this other stuff. Wouldn't this have been more helpful on like January 7th? Like, when everyone was really all pissed off about January 6th, wouldn't it have made a lot of sense to come out and just start laying waste to Donald Trump if they really wanted on the Republican side to distance themselves from him? You can't do it now. It just looks silly.
I'll go one step further. Apparently, a headline broke just a little while ago that it's not just what he's saying, but that apparently he kept contemporaneous secret notes that he has turned over just like this week. Awesome. And I'm thinking of conversations he had with Trump during the time. I look at this and think, well, Pence, you know, God bless him. He's got a bless your heart campaign. He's not going to make it to the presidency. No one's going to want him in their cabinet. And he certainly alienated his former running partner. He's got to go ahead and say what he wants to say at this point, because otherwise no one's going to talk to him. Jeff.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's just a desperation, a guy that should be doing much better than he's doing, and swinging wildly for the fences and coming up miles short. So, it would have been better January 7th, I guess, but probably would have done him his presidential campaign in much, much more swiftly.
All right, fellas, the music is playing. That means the preacher's got to stop preaching. So I appreciate you both. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show in Mobile, and with 1819 News as editor-in-chief. And Dale Jackson, WVNN, up in Huntsville, morning show guy, program director, and also writes for Yellowhammer News. And just little old me. All right, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.